And here is the Writer's Almanac for Sunday. It's the 26th of February, 2012. The playwright Christopher Marlowe, baptized in Canterbury, England, on this date, 1564, a very gifted boy, son of a shoemaker, went to Cambridge on a scholarship, and it is believed he became a spy for Queen Elizabeth I, posing as a Catholic to gather intelligence on any plots against the Protestant queen. Even less is known about Marlowe than about Shakespeare. But his plays reveal a man who was cynical about religion and politics, who was most likely a homosexual and an atheist in a time when it was very dangerous to be either one, let alone both. But he was a brilliant poet and dramatist, worked in blank verse, inspired Shakespeare to do the same. Before he was stabbed to death in a tavern at the age of 29, he wrote Tamburlaine the Great, Dr. Faustus, The Jew of Malta, Edward II, and The Massacre at Paris, and also Come Live with Me and Be My Love, and we will all the pleasures prove that hills and valleys, dale and field, and all the craggy mountains yield. It's the birthday of Victor Hugo, born in Besançon, France, 1802, author of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, about a gypsy girl and the deformed bell ringer who was in love with her, and Les Miserables, about Jean Valjean, a poor man sentenced to 20 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread. By the time Victor Hugo died at the age of 82, he was a national hero, and 2 million mourners watched his funeral procession go by. It's the birthday of John Harvey Kellogg, doctor and serial pioneer, born in Tyrone, New York, 1852. Moved to Battle Creek, Michigan, where he and his brother Will invented cereal flakes. It's the birthday of an American author of English mysteries, Elizabeth George, born in Warren, Ohio, 1949. Author of the Inspector Linley series, about a Scotland Yard detective and his crime-solving partner. The newest one, Believing the Lie, came out just last month. And it was on this date, 1919, the Grand Canyon National Park was established after a 30-year battle over the opposition of ranchers, miners, and entrepreneurs. Today, the park covers more than 1,900 square miles, the canyon itself 277 river miles long, 10 miles wide, a mile deep. Theodore Roosevelt went to see it in 1903, and he said the Grand Canyon is beyond comparison, unparalleled throughout the wide world. Let this great wonder of nature remain as it now is. You cannot improve on it, but what you can do is to keep it for your children, your children's children, and all who come after you as the one great sight which every American should see. Here's a poem for today by Kenneth Rexroth, Rose-Colored Glasses. 10 years and it's still on the radio. La Vie en Rose spills out of a dozen windows onto the canal. A woman and her son in a vegetable barge sing it. A man polishing the prow of his gondola sings it while his dog wags its tail. Children playing hopscotch sing it. Grimy, half-washed clothes hang overhead. Garbage floats in the narrow canal. More radios join in. Across the canal, beyond the iron windows of the women's prison, 100 pure voices of pickpockets and prostitutes start to sing it. It is just like being in church. The next number is Ciao, Ciao, Bambina. A poem by Kenneth Rexroth, Rose-Colored Glasses, from Swords That Shall Not Strike, published by Glad Day Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, the oldest monthly devoted to verse in the English-speaking world. You can join its centennial celebration and become a subscriber at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Nick Vedder, engineered by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.